Good morning. It is good to see everyone this morning. I am just so grateful and thankful to be here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. So affectionately longing for you, we are well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Because you had become so dear to us. Now that's not my scripture this morning, but back about 1995 when I did quit Campbell's and start preaching and getting paid for it, I had these business cards made up. And that's what I had on the back. So today only, I'm selling these as a family camp commemorative special with, with 1 Thessalonians 2:8. These are $20 a piece, or two for $60, which will help me go to Belarus in November. So if you're interested in these, go. It is tax deductible. I'll have you make the check out, so that we can launder the money. So I'm always surprised when I find myself on the schedule, as I'm sure some of you are. And so about the 4th of July every year, I start, thinking about Montana family camp, It's the highlight of my year to see all of you, and I will never take this for granted, because every year I start thinking about it, and I get this text and say, long after I already started worrying about it, I'm thinking, He's finally found his sympathy is finally run out, I don't use me anymore. So I get this text and it says, can you do the adult class at Montana Family Camp on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? That's where we're really going to be. Verses 12 through 28. And I'm honestly, I'm always very grateful and a little surprised. And I said, yes, thanks for asking me. And here's his response. The humor is yours, the pleasure is ours, and the glory is God's. That's pretty good, that's pretty humorous, a little dry, but a little more cerebral than... So, Mary Jo says, but do you think then he kind of expects you to be humorous? Is that a lot of pressure? I said, I never really thought of it that way. And she said, I wouldn't worry about it. She said, your presence is kind of humorous. It sounds a lot like clownish to me, but... First Thessalonians chapter 5. It's funny, you don't notice things. Last night, I was running a little bit late, and Mary Jo was working in the kitchen, and she's addicted to Diet Coke. And I had to go get her fixed. And I'm coming up, and I see this truck out here. I never noticed the truck before, and I saw Steve Doty's face. I mean, really big. And they were talking about the great quality, and man, I thought it was like ESPN or something, and then I thought, if Steve looks like that, it's pretty bad, what am I going to do, But, anyway, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Well, that would be esteeming. You see, those who labor is just everybody get along. You know? Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brother, pray for us. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, I am ever so grateful and thankful to be able to come before the saints. Father, a manifestation of your power of the new creation. Father, the glory and the honor is yours. And Father, I am so grateful and thankful to be a part of this number. Father, to be allowed the opportunity and the privilege to lead this class. And I just pray that you would be with us today, Father, that you would help us to think on these things. And Father, not just to think, but Father, to act. That our very presence, Father, might bring peace, might bring understanding, might bring good news, might bring truth and righteousness. Father, that we might fulfill the eternal purpose and proclaim through the heavenly realms the righteousness of our Father God. In the name of Jesus I pray, amen. The most important thing in learning to relate to others is personal honesty. And once you learn to fake that, everything else is easy. The trouble is, a lot of people honestly do follow that philosophy. One of the most discouraging things is the low ethical behavior that is often exhibited. Lying without hesitation, evading paying bills, cheating, ignoring the needy, the failure to keep appointments. Losing our tempers, being critical and caustic, people deserting their mates, being proud and headstrong and proud of it. Now, these problems didn't go away in Thessalonica. These problems are not going to go away. Christianity continues to transform. So don't be discouraged. But the closing verses here, and a great point brought out in Paul's travels and the genesis of this congregation in Thessalonica, and some very practical advice for new creations. And we get to chapter 5 here, and some really practical guidelines on how to live, how to act towards the leaders of the church, how to live with other Christians, and how to live towards God. Now, brother, recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Esteem them highly because of their work's sake, and be at peace. Those who are over you, has to be taken in the context of those who are leading you in the Lord. Now, leaders lead, and those who are over you apply downward pressure. I've read, I've even served in situations where, over you meant downward pressure. See? But Matthew 23:8 says, don't be called rabbi. There's only one teacher. You see, you're all brothers. So what's really being said here is those who labor among you and stand before you in the Lord. The men who pray, the men who do things publicly, and those who excel in teaching and preaching and leading. You see, those who will head up the kitchen, it's not just up front, see, but those who will take charge, and you can say, hey, will you take care of this? And then you don't have to worry about it again. You need to esteem those people. And there's no... everybody can't do that. I got to help in the kitchen last night, and listen, there was nothing the matter with that corn. Now, I watched Scott last night, and he made that look easy. I really did. It was like he was on nerve pills or something. He didn't get shook up. He pulled it off with ease and with style, and I couldn't have done that. He did that because he knew how to lead, because he knew where to put people. Now, sometimes you need to be the person who is willing to be put somewhere, okay? And, everybody can't be a chief, or you don't have any warriors, see? But you got to respect the leaders, see? Know the leaders, recognize the leaders, be aware of the leaders, and don't take them for granted. See? Many traditional churches of Christ, I get letters from the regional preachers meeting from the Churches of Christ, and they're addressed to the pastor. And it's a preacher's meeting. They wouldn't know what to do if the pastor showed up. this is pastor's meeting. Well, this is a preacher's meeting. Well, what are you addressing my mail to the pastor for? I mean, anyway, the pastor or the hired servants, and they respond to the whims of the board or the congregational vote, and no respect. And at times, these guys are severely mistreated. You know, been mistreated, huh? But it doesn't take a board or a congregation to treat leaders like hirelings either. Every member is a minister. Every member ministry. We've all got a part in this. So get to know those who excel, you see, in areas, and become someone who can excel. And if that's not an area that you excel in, then man the corn. You know? Stir the corn. Do something you can do. So, esteem them. Value them. Love them. Know them. Understand that some leaders have personal idiosyncrasies. Working on that piercing gaze, you know. But recognize that their work should be highly esteemed. You see, now, a lot of, I like this term. One of the guys in the congregation came up with this term. And, you know, they're always, we're always railing on denominational churches, you know. Well, he calls them franchise churches. Because, you get a McDonald's in Bozeman, you get a McDonald's in Boston, and, it's McDonald's. And, Presbyterian in Bozeman, Presbyterian, it's franchise. So these franchise churches for centuries have tried to do this, give that esteem by giving high-sounding titles. They also don't pay them much, but a nice title like bishop or reverend or some other high sound. I know it's in the New Testament. You know what they call the Apostle Paul? They don't call him the Apostle. They call him Paul. Yeah, Paul. Yeah. Paul answered, Peter and John. Well, I think that's, I work with some organizations, people from franchise churches will say, they'll find out that I'm a preacher, and they'll say, what should I call you? They call a lot of things, but. I usually say, Mike is a good thing, but, Your Majesty has a nice ring to it. Why not go for the gusto? But to esteem highly, regard them, in our verbiage, but it's a practical way, to add value to esteem. That's why Paul says to Timothy, if an elder rules well, if he leads well, then he's worthy of double honor. Well, I would say, an evangelist, if he leads well, twice as much salary, a double honorarium. Because even with idiosyncrasies, you gotta live. I've had people tell me, well, just have faith. When I told that to the electric company, and you know what they said? Our faithful truck will be there and discontinue service, which I want. Be at peace among yourselves. Now, you want to bring joy, you want to bring esteem to live, get along. Okay? Nothing brings more headaches than people who can't get along, and they they try to create factions, you know, a group around one person at the expense of others in leadership, you know. First Peter says, you know, don't even bring an accusation except a word or two or three witnesses. And that includes, you know, I wouldn't tell you this, but I want your prayer. Now, come on. You know, I mean, leaders are sent by the Lord. And leaders in the school, leaders in the church, leaders in the kitchen, and leaders in the home are ordained by God. And whispers need to be repented of loudly. They admonish you. They labor among you. Now, verses 14 and 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Yeah. Exhortation. A warning to those who are unruly. Now, comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with everybody. See that no one renders evil for evil. Pursue good, both for yourselves and for all. Now, sometimes I'm the last one to know what's good for me. Now I think, well, that'd be good for me. And Mary Jo says, if you know what's good for you, well, sometimes I think I know what's good for me, and God says, if you know what's good for you, that's why we need to rightly divide the word and not be driven by the slave called our flesh. See, because what I think is good for me at the moment may be my damnation. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. It really does seem right. Notice that's not just to the leaders. See? The idlers and the unruly, the faint-hearted, the weak. Warn the idlers. Warn the disorderly. You see, those who get out of step with the rest of the crowd. And some of the folks have quit working because they expected Jesus to come back real quick. You know, they're living off the gifts. You know, admonish them. Tell people to mend their ways. Now, some folks work whenever they're working. Everybody has an agenda, but is it your agenda or is it the Lord's agenda? And who is setting that agenda? And you know, if you're setting that agenda, it's going to be unruly. Now, you need to admonish them. Don't let them go on like that because you love them. You see, they don't need to do it in a mean-spirited way, but point out that that behavior is not acceptable. You can do that. I mean, when you gain that kind of, you know, that kind of, when you really believe 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8 that we love you so much we share your very lives, then you can say some things to people without them getting defensive. Well, sometimes you can't. You know. Encourage the faint-hearted. Literally the small-souled person. Well, there are people who feel inadequate and ungifted. It's not just a sense of false modesty. There really are those introverted folks who have some trouble, he says, rectifying the image that God has and the image that they've kind of got burned into the old man's brain, you see, that they revert back to. And so help them find their place. You see, help them put them on the corn-stirring detail and then make a big deal out of it if you know they need more attention than most, you know? they wear a hat, they're an attention seeker, you know, and then kind of work with them that way, you know? Help them find where they need to be. And then they realize that they do have a place, their value goes up, their thinking gets more in line with the biblical description. People really do. I mean, there's some people who think, I can't do anything. I don't have any gifts, you know. God has equipped us all to fit in the body at His good pleasure. So wherever you're at, work hard, do the best you can. Help the weak ones. Help them hold fast. And it's going to demand maybe an extra phone call. Maybe an invitation to lunch. We're to watch out for people like that. People who are weak, who could just really benefit from, you know, there's a lady in the congregation has a card minister, and she sends out cards. And she always has an encouraging note. You know, it's that kind of encouragement that we can kind of watch for and be patient with all. Patience is that willingness to try over and over and over again. Now, I'll tell you, sometimes, I hate to say it, but sometimes it's pretty tempting to say, you know, I've tried this, they don't listen, you know, it's their mess now, you know, you're listening to me. You know, I told you so, you know. Well, who does that help? Well, it makes me feel superior. And that's what it's about, right? So that I feel all churchy and stuff. You know. Sanctimonious. Non-retaliation means that you don't strike back. Even when someone has hurt you in the process of helping them. Now, sometimes that's the hardest hurt, that's the hardest flight to take, is when you have extended yourself to help someone, you know, and that dog bit you. And then that's kind of hard sometimes to go. But helpfulness is the continual attempt to make the situation better. Well, you don't stick your hand back in there. I mean, there's a difference between being patient and trying to cure stupid. Now, if you're patiently trying to cure stupid, then you're going to fail. Yeah, I know how patient you are. What's our attitude? I mean, really, when it comes right down to it, what's our attitude towards God? What's our attitude towards the brethren? Or what's our attitude towards God? Well, you know, rejoice always, verse 16. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Sometimes, as you share your lives together, people will say, well, I wish I knew what God's will was. And they'll say, you know, you fill in the blank, whatever the situation. Well, here's what's God's will. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. So this is the will of God. In Christ Jesus, for you. They're like Prince illustrations here of the spot car that fishtails. I mean, he had a great illustration this morning with that, you know, the stock car fishtails, and what you do is you put the hammer down and you look forward and you keep going. But what people are saying is, I wish I knew what God's will is, because I want to turn the steering wheel this way or that way, or apply the brake or do something. No! If you will do what God says His will is, in those situations, if you will rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, then the car will straighten itself out! I guarantee if you do this, whatever situation you're in will straighten itself out. God says that's His will. Do we believe it? So no whining. Rejoicing is normal. Rejoicing is normal. You're not really having an intended effect, is it? Our faith, our movement, our doctrine, our impact in the world, I'm convinced, would be dramatically revolutionized and our complaints would be diminished if we took this command seriously. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. One little boy started to kind of grasp this concept, and he prayed before a meal that included some items that he noticed he didn't like. And he prayed, "Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I thank you for it, and I'll eat it anyway. Amen." Well, you know, there's some times when, "Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I thank you for it, and I'll eat it anyway." Because that's His will. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks. Now, then there's kind of a machine gun effect there in verses 16 through 22. That short, punchy, you know, pithy direction, you know. All diseases run into one. It's called old age. If you're not confused, you're not paying attention. And being confused most of the time, I respond best, you see, to kind of short commands. So, you know, if I'm gonna walk into a room and try to, you know, find my glasses and turn the light on. To find my, I turn the light on and forget why I'm in a room. You know, so trying to be, you know, short, choppy, and so you know, kind of the way this is written here. So maybe try some instruction like this. How about the pray much, sing praise, fear not. Rejoice greatly. Bright bless. Bless others. Commend often. Give thanks. Keep good. Stop evil. Praise God. Sin not. Count blessings. Be quiet. Speak up. Fast more, call often, care much, love strongly, hug often, be friendly, walk more, think deeply, smile broadly, cleanse daily, hold children, love babies, live holy, admire goodness. Speak softly. To remind myself and speak softly. No. Compliment quickly. Breathe deeply. Be courteous. Open doors. Express gratitude. Be joyful. Pray continually. Give thanks. Prayer is not an easy way of getting what we want. But it's the only way of becoming what God wants us to be. Rejoice always, pray continually, always give thanks. That just illustrates that worship, the kneeling of the inner man, is the core of this issue. You try to take those things and you end up either mumbling in an insane asylum or a monastery. Just take those things to the human level, okay? Which I'm not sure there's a whole lot of difference between an insane asylum and a monastery. Only because I've never been to a monastery. It's the inner man. That's what he's driving at here. See, that has to be our inner attitude, regardless of our circumstances. Because Mark, you nailed it. This is God's design. This is His purpose. This is the way it's supposed to look. Prayer doesn't need proof. It needs practice. Verse 23. Now the may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. Set you apart completely. Holy works completely. A vessel for holy use completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body. This is a holistic. Be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you need to know, He who calls you is faithful. God is faithful. He's going to do, and He is doing what He said He would do, and that is transforming us into the image of Christ. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Read the Word. Live the Word. Love each other. Be responsible. Be respectful. You see, to a young church, to a more mature church, this is imperative that we do this. To think more of others than we think of ourselves. To put others' needs ahead of ourselves. To know that we are here to engage. When it gets to be about, man, I'm so tired, I just wish God would come, Jesus would split the cloud. And there's a sense in which I understand, but there's another sense in I need to be a participant in the will of God. I need to quit trying to set the agenda for Him and work His agenda. This is His agenda. And you know, when the agenda isn't exactly your agenda, you can either kick against the goads or you can get in line. Now, anybody who's been married knows that. I mean, you can either make yourself miserable or you can make yourself happy. Well, it's the same way with the bridegroom and the bride. He's not going to change. No matter how unfair you might think it is, this is the deal. He's told you His will. Let's get in line with His will. Sometimes these bodies do want to betray us because we push and we go. closed the Lord's day, and the old preacher preached 5 times that day. And he'd been busy. He's on his way home. You know, sometimes I've even had, probably it's never happened in your car, but even after a great family camp, you know, you kind of be tired and something be said, and then there's a heavy silence between, you know, between you and your spouse, and it's all, hey, that's when Satan attacks, isn't it? And then he says, man, you spent all weekend doing that, and you guys are fighting before you even get home? What good did that do? It's never happened to anybody else's car, has it? See, I told you you were hard to live with. It's obviously never happened to anybody else. So, the old preacher, no, it's not in our personal story. The old preacher, on the way home, you know, it was a simple question from his wife irritated him. And it showed somewhat. And after a heavy silence, he asked his wife's forgiveness. And he said, well, you know, please forgive me. He said, I'm quite tired. He said, remember, I preached 5 times today. And his wife said, yes, dear, I know. I've had to listen to you 5 times today. Put yourself in the other person's shoes. But there's always something here for us. There's always something at family camp for us. There's always something when we are willing not only to impart the gospel but share our very lives. There's always something that we gain from that. Whether it's a disappointment, whether it's a victory like we witnessed with Luke this morning. Wasn't that great? Yeah. Praise God. Is he down here with you? Is he dried off yet?
He's downstairs.
Man, that was great. I mean, I just met him this weekend. And you know, I was praying for him, you know. And he come down this morning and said, hey, somebody's going to be immersed in about 5 minutes. I go, man, and it was. And you know, the funny thing about that was, I was surprised. So I suppose if I'd been praying about that, well, why am I surprised? Why are we so surprised when God answers our prayers, and we're not surprised when He don't? I told you I'd never been in a monastery. It's like the old guy who said, you know, I don't have to assemble. You know, I don't need to come to assembly anymore because I've heard all of it before. You know? Listen, don't treat the message of God with contempt. If we do this, we will quench the Spirit. We will put the fire out. There is always something, you see, when you engage the saints, when you engage people, you know, the C.S. Lewis quote, if you could see people for what they really are, as God sees them, then that touches you. See, whether you're the teacher, whether you're the pupil, you are touched by that. You've got to get fired up for the Lord. You've got to get fired up for the church. And we need to do the will of God. God's able to minister to the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. We need to rest on His faithfulness. We encourage the brethren to be more faithful. I tell you, God doesn't need to be encouraged to be faithful. He's given us His word that He will be. Believe Him. That's where my faithfulness needs to come in, is believing Him. Making that choice. Choosing to believe, God will give you the power to perform. But He's not going to give you the power to perform until you make the choice to believe. He doesn't have to prove Himself. He is faithful. You can believe that. See? Jesus is coming again. This is a limited time offer. And this fire sale, there will be a fire. All the elements burn up. This fire sale is limited in length. And it is controlled by us. You want to go home? Leave no stone unturned. Growing up in West Virginia, we used to look for crawdads. You go down the creek and turn over a rock, and you get ready to grab that crawdad by the back there, so you don't get pinched. See? And as a fat kid, I had to always hold my breath when I was bent over. So, kind of uncomfortable, you know, looking for crawdads, because I couldn't breathe. But yet, you know, I really wanted to find those crawdads. So sometimes leaving no stone unturned, you're going to have to overcome some things. You're going to have to overcome that shortness of breath. You're going to have to forego that extra pork chop. We can leave no stone unturned. In some of the most, some of the places it looks like where there couldn't be no, that's where the big ones are. That's where the big crawdads are. Okay? One life to live. It'll soon be past. And only what's done for Christ will last. Now, that's a famous quote from somebody famous. But somebody equally famous with idiosyncrasies would like to change that from only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life to live will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. How about this? How about only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done by Christ will last. Brethren, let Him work in you. He is faithful.